You know, it's all been for my protection. Everything you've done.
Hello, I'm Martin Kessler, and this episode's about The Curse of Audrey Earnshaw, and I'm very lucky to be joined by the film's director, Thomas Robert Lee. Hi.
Hey, Martin.
Just for people listening, I was wondering if you could maybe say something about your background as a filmmaker or maybe your previous film work that people might know.
For sure. So I went to film school in Calgary, Alberta, at a school called State Polytechnic. It's basically like a trade school. So the film program offered at the school was very much like a hands-on approach to film. There was only one class dedicated to actually like watching movies and like, you know, discussing a director's work and all the other components in a film. And I made lots of great friends there who went on to work with me on both of my movies. So I graduated from school in 2010, and then I made a micro-budget film it came out in 2016 called Empyrean. It was kind of like an art house science fiction drama.
It has a really amazing look to it. Like, I love that black and white where it's almost like, it's not even black and white, it's like black and metallic or black and gray. It looks so cool, that film.
Oh, thank you very much. Yeah, we actually shot in black and white. We used the red Dragon monochrome, which had come out maybe a week or two before production, and the cinematographer had bought one specifically for this shoot. So it wasn't a black and white film, and where, you know, we shot it in color and then drained it afterwards. So I think the grayscale just looks fantastic in the movie.
Yeah, I think it really makes a difference.
The guy who worked on Empyrean, his name was Bradley Stuckel, and then the cinematographer on Audrey Earnshaw was Nick Thomas.
Audrey Earnshaw has a really fantastic look to it too, those sort of dark, moody visuals.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's the kind of film where when you first showed it to me, I saw an earlier version of the film. I guess it's changed a bit since I first saw it, but it was really great going in blind and not knowing what to expect and being like, oh, wow, where's the story going? What's going to happen next? And I really, really got into it. And I really, really love the film.
Oh, thanks. It was, I was really excited to share, I think, because you saw, I think, a couple different cuts of the film.
Yeah, I think I saw one pretty early on. But right from the get-go, I think like it was in good shape. Like I could see how the tension was going to work. I could see how the characters were going to work, how the story was going to unfold, and then what was maybe going to be mysterious and what was meant to be shocking or surprising.
I wanted it to feel, I mean, I'm sure every single writer director feels this way, but for it to be very unpredictable. So Right. Like the basic plot synopsis is that there's this isolated farming community that's hit hard times where their crops are failing and the animals are getting sick, and now people are starting to die in the community. But meanwhile, there's a woman who lives on the outskirts of the town who's doing just fine, whose crops are flourishing and she's got livestock, but she keeps to herself. And then, of course, everybody starts to wonder what the deal is with this woman, and, you know, she won't trade with the locals, and it being an isolated religious community, they start to suspect her of witchcraft. And the twist, which is revealed at the start, is that this woman does in fact have a daughter that nobody in the community has ever seen. So the main drama of the film is the relationship between Agatha, the mother, and Audrey, the secret daughter, and Audrey's sort of coming of age. Like, it's kind of a dark coming of age story at its core.
Yeah, I think that really comes across, and I like that juxtaposition where you have this story of coming of age and empowerment on one side with this one character, and this decline for the community going on at the same time, and how that eventually folds into the film's conflict. I thought that was really interesting, and I always like these horror stories or that type of story where you have a group of people together and things get tense and they start turning on each other, and that kind of environment is always really interesting to me.
Me too. I love that kind of those sorts of stories where, like, I set out to write a folk horror film, and so there's obviously precedent within the genre for, you know, outsiders and paranoia and madness and all this stuff, movies like The Wicker Man and Straw Dogs, but there was also these other cinematic influences that were not specifically horror, like The White Ribbon or There Will Be Blood, where it's like these isolated communities that are drastically affected by one thing or another.
Right. I think that comes across too, because for me, sometimes those sorts of films can be scarier than films that set out to be horror movies. Like The White Ribbon, I think that's a really great reference point. I think now that you mention it, I can think back to how that might have influenced the film, not in maybe any obvious way, but just in that depiction of the community and the period setting and all those elements. I think that comes through really well. I was curious where this idea came from to do a folk horror story, and what was your inspiration for the setting and for maybe the basic story?
Well, when the editor and I were working on Empyrean and putting that together, a lot of that film's influences were like the movies of Ingmar Bergman and some Tarkovsky and that kind of thing. But during the edit, we started watching, for one reason or another, horror movies started becoming more and more of an influence on that film. And it's not really a horror film at all. But we were talking a lot about techniques used in The Exorcist and in Don't Look Now. And I've always been a horror fan ever since I was a kid. I wanted to write something in that genre. And I really like those folk horror films. Like I said, like The Wicker Man and Straw Dogs is a big favorite of mine. So it was really kind of that simple, was just being like, I want to put my own stamp onto this subgenre and tell this kind of story. And there was also the mother-daughter relationship in the film, Audrey and Agatha. Like, I'm a big fan of Carrie and Black Swan, so wanting to have that very strange, dark mother-daughter relationship at the heart of the film. And then the period stuff, there's obviously great examples of contemporary folk horror films, like Ben Wheatley's Kill List is a great example.
Sure.
But in the sort of folk horror tale that I wanted to tell, it made sense to want to go back and do something with a period setting.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think there's something interesting in how it feels just stylistically a little bit like a throwback in some ways, and it feels so classy, like it's a classy horror movie, and definitely reminded me of things like Carrie and The Exorcist and Rosemary's Baby. I thought a little bit of, not so much in the story, but just in that way that you built tension and built suspense, and the period setting on top of that just added to this feeling of being transported into another time period in another world.
It's funny because the script itself, a lot of the influences were more literary horror. So,
sure.
You know, there's this writer, Andrew Michael Hurley, who's a contemporary writer. He writes great folk horror stories. Like, I really like his stuff. But a lot of the cinematic influences and stuff that Nick and I, the DP, talked about in prep for the film weren't necessarily horror films. So maybe that's where some of that stuff comes from. And like, we did obviously talk about The Exorcist, and we did talk about like Rosemary's Baby and other Polanski stuff like Macbeth. I mean, The Exorcist is a great example in that it's not treated like a horror film at all. And that's part of what makes it feel so, so awful, is that
yes,
it's so grounded. And these characters are so developed before anything supernatural happens.
Yeah, I think that grounding, it makes such a big difference. Like when you watch The Exorcist and it feels not exactly like a documentary, but it just feels like, oh, this is really the way it would happen if something like this could happen. Even that feeling of like, what genre is this initially? Like when you're first getting your bearings watching the film, it's like, oh, is this going to be a drama? Is this more like a Western? Is this, what kind of a horror film am I watching? Like that organic feeling of where's the story going to go, and just seeing these characters push the story forward. I was curious a little bit about the characters and also the casting and what you thought maybe some of the actors brought to their roles.
For sure. I mean, I hadn't hired a casting director for Empyrean, and that was something that I wanted, that was a collaborative that I really wanted to have on this film. In pre-production, the film was intended to be an Irish-Canadian co-production, but that ended up falling through and it ended up being an entirely Canadian production. So the casting director we hired, whose name is Maureen Hughes, and Sarah Jones, they're both Irish. So we ended up hiring quite a few Irish cast, and then the rest were Canadians. But yeah, it was all about just trying to find maybe not even actors that were necessarily like associated with the horror genre or anything like that, but really kind of going about it like something like The Exorcist, where it's, you just want to build a really strong ensemble, and maybe some faces are more recognizable than others. But like, for example, with Jessica Reynolds, who plays Audrey Earnshaw, the intent was always for us to find somebody who'd never been in a film before, just to add to that almost like a meta layer of discovering somebody, just the way the community discovers somebody. And then like Catherine Walker, who plays Agatha, I'd seen her in A Dark Song,
which is one of the best independent horror films, I think, from the past couple of years. I first heard about A Dark Song through the Zebras in America podcast with Marcus Pinn and Scott, and they talked that film up, so I thought that was really great, and she's fantastic in it.
Totally. Yeah, she's so good. And so it was super exciting when she agreed to do this movie, and she was just incredible to work with. The whole cast was. Like, if I went through, it would just be me singing everybody's praises, but it's true. Like, it was so exciting to see the actors do something so unexpected, but at the same time being totally true to the character that was on the page.
Right. It's such a strong cast that really impressed me too, to have a big ensemble cast like that. And of course you have Jessica Reynolds at the center of it, but it sort of feels like there's definitely scenes where it's more focused on some of the other characters and everyone holds their own. And I thought it was really impressive.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, that was a challenge in the script to find that balance between, because yes, it's about Audrey and Agatha, but really the film tracks these two families that are both, not to give anything away, but they're both kind of undone.
Oh, for sure. I was also wondering a little bit about what it was like to physically create the town setting and the shooting location that you chose, and just in general, what it was like to create that community that you see on screen.
For sure. We shot outside of Calgary, Alberta, where there's a lot of Westerns that are shot. Films like The Assassination of Jesse James and Brokeback Mountain and Unforgiven. There's a whole history of these great Westerns that are shot there. And a lot of times, wherever these little towns were built, they'll stay there after the filming is wrapped. So we actually shot at this existing town that had been built, I think, for Lonesome Dove. So it was fantastic because everything's totally accurate, like period authentic, and you could really kind of point the camera anywhere and it would look great. So it was a real score for production to find this place and be able to shoot it, because we're an independent Canadian film. So it's not like we have all the money in the world to create any of these things, but to find a location like that, it added so much production value.
Oh, for sure. It really comes across. I love the wilderness too. You always have these great wilderness shots, and I'm not sure if it made it to the final edit, but I loved some of the shots that you had in the cut that you showed me where it slowly dissolves into the characters' faces. And it feels like there's this fusion between this natural force and this main character, and just the presence of nature in the story I really thought was interesting. And the idea of witchcraft and that connection to nature, and it all seemed to come together in a way that really made sense.
For sure. Yeah, that was definitely something that was designed early on in keeping with the sort of folklore subgenre of it all, just the importance of the land to the story. And that strange juxtaposition of this being an incredibly open and vast space, but for it to feel so suffocating and claustrophobic to the people who are hit by this hardship.
Yeah, the nature feels overwhelming, and it does have that claustrophobic quality, like you mentioned, and it's almost like the walls are closing in, or the nature's closing in.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. There's scenes where we would want to frame it so that it felt like they were just, these people were so tiny and so puny and insignificant compared to their surroundings, and other times when we would try to do something different, where like the Dwyer home, like Coleman, Bridget Dwyer, the other sort of main couple in the film, their home is just this house that's in the middle of nowhere. So we do have some shots where you see these people have tried to really sort of plant a stake in the ground and be like, this is our place, this is our land, this is our home. But obviously the landscape is going to have different plans.
For sure. Along with the horror, there also seemed to be that element of the anti-Western or revisionist Western, or whatever people would call it, where it's also critiquing that, or you're a little bit deconstructing that aspect of people trying to conquer nature. So I don't know, I thought that was really cool how that was tied in.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I love those kind of acid Westerns, like, yeah. Dead Man.
Yeah. Dead Man, absolutely, yeah.
You were a poet and a painter, and now you are a killer.
Ideally, I would love for audiences to come into this film expecting one thing and to get something else.
Okay.
On the one hand, yes, of course it's going to be dread and a kind of haunting, creeping atmosphere. And obviously being a horror film again, like, there's going to be a couple of grisly murders.
Of course.
Of course, you got to do it. But I hope that they're surprised by their relationship, that they're surprised by Audrey's development. And I just want the characters to be surprising for the viewer.
I think people are definitely going to get that. I got that when I watched it. And it's the sort of film where, and I didn't want to give too much away on this podcast episode, because I think people really would get more out of this going in blind and kind of being surprised or having their expectations maybe challenged by watching it. And I think it's really great. That's why I wanted to hype it up. So thank you for coming on. And if you want to plug when the film's coming out, I saw it's got a VOD release and a Blu-ray release.
Yeah, it's like a limited theatrical at the start of October, and then it'll be on VOD, I think, a week or two later, with a Blu-ray release to follow.
Yeah, I think I saw the Blu-ray release. Maybe it's October 20th. Does that sound right?
That sounds about right.
That's right before my birthday, so that's going to be my treat for myself.
Oh, sweet.
Well, thank you for coming on and for telling us a little bit about the film. And I really, really hope people who listen have a chance to check it out, because I think if people listen back to this podcast, like some of the films we've covered, even the very first episode of the FlixWise Canada podcast was on Robert Eggers' The Witch and stuff like that. So like, I really love that kind of film. And I think people who listen to this show, whether or not you're even a horror film person, I think you should check this out, because I think you'll get something out of it and you'll probably really enjoy it, because it's a fantastic film and it's unusual and intriguing and exciting and all that great stuff. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much, Martin. Thanks for the kind words and thanks for having me on. I'm glad we got to talk about the movie.
Failed crops, sickly children. How much graver must our circumstances become? We're bedeviled by something unnatural out there.
We are the faithful ones, yet God smiles upon you. Why is that? Speak up.